How do you harvest them, and how often do you harvest them?
Yeah, believe it or not, a lot of it is the market. Myself, personally, is the way I do it. It's not so much the size, because you create different markets for each size that you have. But the markets basically tell me, you know, when to harvest. You know, I'm not going to harvest something at 10 cents when it's worth 25 cents later on.
So you don't have a season, you go by the market. What's the process for harvesting? Do you harvest like lobster guys, or how do you do it?
I have a skiff, 22 feet long, 8 feet wide, big culverboard, which is basically a big picnic bench, what it looks like, stainless steel, and you put the bags. These are all in bags. I haven't figured out what I want to put in the bag. I might have 2,500. To 20,000 in the bag. I haven't quite figured it out. I have to see how they grow to separate them. I'll put them on my cardboard, lay them out, cut them all out, size them up, and then change them to different bags. Everything is mostly done in my boat. You know, I don't.
And then when I'm done, take it all home.
Years and years ago, when I first started fishing when I was a kid, one of the marine biologists down in Massachusetts told me, do you know how they used to tell how an area was clean? Wasn't anything scientific, wasn't anything. It was if it had muscles alive. That's how the state used to tell years ago in Massachusetts.
Yeah,
the God's honest truth. That's how they used to tell. If they go in an area and the muscles were dead over here, that was it. Muscles were alive over here. That area was fine as kind. Mm-hmm. Things have all changed now, you know. We've got real scientific now, you know.
Probably still works out the same way.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that doesn't change.
Fishing is common sense. You know, I mean, you know, you don't go in an area and you don't pollute it, you know, throw stuff all over the place, and you know, go and devastate an area, because we all got to get along with each other, all of us, no matter who it is. You know, I'm hoping, you know, my spat will go to Stockton, mm-hmm. maybe go on the rocks over there, you know, yeah. You know, maybe you'll get an oyster spat. I don't know. You know, it all depends where the back eddy is in there.
We could even see people going on Sears yeah. Island and getting oysters and cohogs yeah. themselves.
Yeah. So you don't think that this operation is going to have any negative effect on the rest of the creatures that live in the harbor, huh?
Yeah, the green crabs.
Well, okay. Well, that will just make them hungrier. If you screen them out of your place, they'll be looking at somewhere else's.
No, I'm gonna trap a lot of them, you know, for my sake.
What does a state consider when they who approves these applications anyway? You guys? What do you look for? What do you take into consideration?
There are 7 criteria, and on the third page, it says navigation, the access by riparian landowners, traditional fishing, significant wildlife and marine habitat. Ecologically significant species, and the public's use and enjoyment of public parks and facilities, or certainly certain publicly owned conserved lands within 1,000 feet. So it's basically, is it going to affect an existing fishery that's out there already, a traditional fishery, lobster, scallop, ground, that sort of thing? Is it going to affect somebody's ability to get onto their property or safely navigate the area? And ecologically significant flora and fauna. So if, for example, we've denied leases, there was to give you some examples, over in Blue Hill Bay, with a salmon pen, we denied that one because it was going to produce too much organic matter that would cause eutrophication, or, you know, algae blooms in the east side of the island. And then we've denied for tradition up in Cobbs Cook. I just went through this on several counts: lobster fishing grounds, scallop, drag bottom, and so really you'll have your opportunity, and that's why this is nice here, so that Bill can figure out, you know, who he has to talk to. This is an informal process, and at the public hearing, you know, if you're a lobster fisherman and this is your bottom, then that's when you come to state it on the record. And then Diantha, to answer your question, Diantha Robinson is our hearings officer, and she'll take all this information and then make a recommendation for the commissioner. Either approve it with conditions or deny it, and the commissioner will either agree or disagree, and then
How many applications like this have you received in the last few years?
It's slowed way down. But it seems to, I don't know. I'm just...
A lot?
Well, it depends what you mean by a lot. I'm thinking right now we have maybe 8 or so in front of us that we need to act on and review.
And
different stages.
How many have you got going that are operational?
It's all on our website. I don't know.
Okay, you don't know off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head.
Okay. Have you ever disapproved any of applications for this kind of thing?
Oh yeah, that's what I was just saying.
For what reason?
Navigation, recreation.
Nothing specific to this kind of operation.
To oysters.
Yeah.
Oyster
nothing
call-out.
Specific to oysters.
Since I'm not involved in the, I don't recall any. Maybe you guys know any oyster.
They mentioned one.
Yeah, I think there was two up in
Damascotta.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's crowded.
One was jumping in front of another one.
They were denied.
Yeah, they were denied.
Based on the geographic.
That's getting pretty tight up there.
Yeah.
If you've ever been up there.
Yeah.
So there's nothing. There's nothing about oysters that make them any different than any other operation. What you decide whether they get approved or not is mostly generic things.
Well, no, it's
navigation
specific.
Navigation can apply to any kind of a permit. I mean,
right.
and people's access to the shore can provide, any kind of permit will have those things. So generic, maybe not a good word, but they cover everything. Specifically, there's no hoops that he has to jump through specifically for oysters.
Well, not specific to oysters. No.
It took me 4.5 years to pick this site. You know, everything I know about fishing, I mean, it took me 4.5 years. I went all overseas. You know, all the places. And I looked at all the different coves that we have up here. I looked at different places. And I didn't want to... One thing I don't want to do is I don't want to have this and, you know, take away from anything from anybody, from you guys, from you, from clam diggers, from anybody. I'm not here to do that. I'm just here to grow shellfish, and if my spat happens to get up on the rocks in Sears Island and you guys have a banner here on oysters, you know, find this kind. I've seen it done before, you know, plenty of places before. I can't control where the spat goes, you know. One thing about oysters is they love rocks, you know. They swim on the top, and then they just like little granular things, and they love rocks.
If they were naturally occurring, then they'd be on the rocks.
You know.
Now you mentioned, you said you looked at a bunch of sites. I just was wondering if for some unforeseen reason this site is denied, do you have an alternate site anywhere in the bay?
Yeah, but I wouldn't take it. One of the reasons is I've been doing a lot of research, you know, about butters and things like that.
Okay.
And I just went through this years and years ago down at Wellfleet. You know, we had a lot of stock that was there, you know, oysters and cogs ready to harvest, and, you know, people found out they had King's Grants. Well, when you're dealing with King's Grants, it's a whole other ball game, because then they own past the low water mark. Then you're dealing with all together something different. And you end up in court, and there's just, you know, so. I figured this way I wasn't going to, you know, impact anybody. You know, I don't want to hurt any lobstermen. I don't want to hurt any clammers. I mean, I'm a fisherman myself. You know, I don't want anybody taking anything away from me. You know, I've had enough rules and regulations in my life. You know, I've seen more rules and regulations, you know, than you can even imagine. So I'm not here to take anything away from anybody, or to take away from, you know, Bob, the Shellfish Committee. From the people in Searsport, I hope to give something back to them. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope someday I can go up to the classroom and bring the kids down and say, hey, you know, here's some oysters, here's some co-ops.
We could even, you know, ultimately see us, with the development of Sears Island, be part of educational processes that may go on there.
Yeah, I'd like to teach kids, you know, have them bring them down, show them, you know, show them the green crab. Some kids have never even seen a green crab.
Why not? They've never touched a clam.
You know,
live right in Belfast the whole life and don't have a clue what that. Well, Searsport, too.
You mentioned cohogs, and people look at you and say, well, what the hell is a cohog, you know? Some people don't know what a little neck is, or a cherry stone, or a bull.
We don't have a heck of a lot of cohogs.
Yeah.
We have hen clams.
Hen clams, yes.
raisins, and soft shell.
We got mahogany cohogs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got some mahogany, but they're not too plentiful. Occasionally you'll find a juvenile.
Just another point, again, it's not specific to this application, but, you know, these are for a time period, and they can be revoked. If something goes totally amok, those leases can be revoked. And
what do you mean, totally amok?
Well, I mean, I guess that's, if for example, we made a mistake and issued the lease, and we found out that it was the spawning habitat of the last some endangered... you know, some really ecologically significant something or other. Or it
the
was,
DMI did that to me, I'd be pissed.
I mean, hopefully we do our job, and that's why we have these scoping sessions. I don't recall, quite frankly, a revocation. But at the end of the 10 years, that lease has to be renewed, and those we review its performance. And like you were describing with Joe Larrabee's thing, you know, initially there's a lot of concern usually, and then once the thing gets in operation, usually, and I'm not saying always, usually it isn't as bad as people think. And but if for some reason we're wrong, there's a second opportunity at the end of the five.
They looked at that as the worst thing that ever happened in the world. Sat with Joe, and you know, we got these problems, and he says, "Yeah, I can. You know, I'll put lights on it, and I'll turn the radio off." And geez, everybody
went
just
away.
You gotta work with people.
We found that that's the best thing is to. We get the calls, and what we prefer is that they talk to the fisherman or the aquaculture. You know, we even with lobstermen, we get complaints and. We don't like being the middleman. I mean,
we're the best complainers.
Well, no comment.
On the little map here, where the different sites are, and just a glance at it, striking that there's not so much in Penobscot Bay, it seems, as other places. I wonder what the reason for that is.
I wouldn't dare speculate. I don't know.
Marcy had mentioned that some of it might be related to water temperatures.
Certainly that's the reason for no finfish.
They say that around Cape Crozier, they won't go around Cape, they won't go any further than Cape Crozier to the west. They say the finfish grow the best down east.
That's right. It's the water temperatures.
They don't want anything to do with them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. For finfish, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For shellfish, I don't know.
I got a couple questions. How about the seals up there, you guys? They have seals up there?
Lots of seals. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah, I've been through with
them.
Yeah.
They like green crabs.
Yeah, I know nothing about that.
How about these Japanese crabs? Have you seen Japanese crabs?
That's what I was going to tell you. Just before I left Massachusetts.
That's right, yeah.
Not been 5 years?
No, those were New Zealand's.
New Zealand, that's right. They have a striped one. And they were almost 100 times more aggressive than a green crab.
That's what they said.
We set a trap in Mosley Harbor one time, and we caught 20 of them. And we put them in a pen, and we put them with like a half a bushel, you know, of cohog and stuff. And that night we came back, and they were just gone. Now, green crabs would have taken a good week, but not them New Zealand. They're so aggressive. It's unbelievable. Yeah, really aggressive. I mean, if
they showed up in Maine.
They have, yeah. The Asian shore crab.
Yeah, Asian shore crab. Yeah.
I think it's the last.
You'll know when you see them. I don't know if you guys have seen them.
I haven't seen them.
You'll see.
They haven't. They've been in southern Maine for probably 10 years now. They haven't taken off for some, you know, whether it's temperature or what. They haven't exploded like they have to down in Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
What's your schedule for this? If you know, if this goes right along, can you get up?
The state said about a year.
We tell, you know, for a shellfish thing, it's about a year process.
On the process before we can start.
30 days.
So we've had our meeting with the town.
Yeah, right? Had a meeting with the town.
That was about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. This is the informal scoping session. The next thing he'll do is put together his application. Then he'll get in line, and if there are eight in front of him, then We go through that, then there's this 30-day waiting notification. Then there's the hearing, and then there's 10 days for you all to comment if you don't want to show up at the hearing. And then it takes a couple of months to
get there.
You know, to
final
review,
answer. Yeah.
That's when, now when I go home now, and then I send the check in with my application.
Yeah.
And, you know, things go really good here. What's the future of this thing? Would you be employing a few people?
Oh, I'd have to. I'm 52 years old.
Yeah, I know. Hopefully you're successful. If you're successful, maybe this will catch on.
I hope so.
Do you think there's other places in the Bay that would be good for growing oysters?
Personally, what I've been thinking and thinking about this. This place up here, in Massachusetts, it's per town, it's how you shellfish. You shellfish in that town only.
Yeah.
So it's not a state thing. And one of the biggest things about Searsport that I can't understand is we just have that little area over there that's open.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of things you can do to get an area open. One you can do meat samples and you know, the water thing's okay, but it's too much with storm drains. It fluctuates too much. I mean, we could have commercial planting in this town, you know, or you could have, in the future, you could have commercial co-op in this town. You could put guys to work. You know, I've done it in towns. I've taken towns. See, in Massachusetts, it works. How it works is you take an area that's non-productive, that never had any of this stuff in it, and you make it productive. And then when you make that area productive, you go into another area. And that's you know, I don't see why it can't catch on here.
How many people, how many commercial licenses at its max after you got it going?
We're over 100.
Mm-hmm. You know the road that goes down to the Cape Dogs?
Yep.
You know how deep that, that's probably 10 feet deep of clam shells right there, okay? There's a long history of clam docks in the area. Over there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys were going to get that big flat open last year, weren't you? Way up inside there?
I don't have anything to do with that.
No.
No, it's still restricted.
It isn't? Yes. Is it? Yeah. Now, you're going to get that other side open on the other side of the causeway this year?
Working on it.
Good.
Has there ever been any talk of opening the causeway or putting a pipe or something in there?
There have been discussions. DOT said there's no way you'd ever see it. Too expensive.
It's too bad it wasn't done.
That plus the fact, just doing it, you're going to have a tremendous impact on the beds that are in there already.
Yeah.
So I don't see that ever happening. But there was a lot of discussion. In fact, some of the fishermen up in Stockton felt you'd have a much better harvest in there if that flow was through there like it was years ago.
You know, once you get shellfish into a town, we've had towns in Mass that were absolutely, you know, like New Bedford, when the unemployment rate was 24%, maybe even more. Bedford, when all us guys, we all were fishing offshore and, you know, scalping and dragging. Then we came in and they said we could fish 30 days a year, so we had to do something. So we all went cohogging and clamming, you know, commercial, you know. And it took a while for it to come, but, you know, it ended up employed, you know, 300 commercial guys harvesting cohogs and oysters, and then another X amount of people with markets, you know, to sell to. And then, you know, it just keeps on going, you know. It's possible. I mean, you guys have the water up here to do it. You know, it takes some effort, you know. But, you know, oysters have been really good to us over the years. You know, as far as the market pretty much stays the same for oysters when in the price range. And I figured, you know, all else fails, you know, I can sell the shells to the tourists or something. I don't know.
For the driveway.
Right, made a little seed on them.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
Right, something.
A little lighthouse.
Yep, you're all set.
Does anybody have any other questions or...